Good morning. It's 38 past the hour. This is the Faith Radio Network. Joining us, journalist, historian, and world affairs expert, Dr. David Aikman. Good morning, David. Thanks for being with us today.
Good morning. How are you, Bill? Nice to talk to you again.
Well, you have covered several presidential elections as a reporter in your career. Can you ever recall an October surprise as nasty as this one?
You know, this has been quite extraordinary. I mean, the whole campaign has been utterly bizarre. To have one presidential candidate on the stage announcing that he's going to request a special prosecutor to investigate his opponent on the same stage once he becomes supposedly president is just mind-boggling. The degree of animosity of the two, the venom on both sides, the absolutely unleashed and unhinged accusations going on, it's really, it'll go down as a historical episode, not necessarily a glorious one in our history, but an important one.
Certainly inglorious is the best word. So do you think that Mr. Trump can recover from this mess of the hot mic tape and supposedly more coming out in days and weeks to come? Do you think this has done irreparable harm to his campaign?
No, I don't think it's done irreparable harm. And I think what he showed last night was the combination of contrition. It wasn't actually full-throated contrition, but it was a sufficient repudiation of those comments to satisfy at least some of his critics. And he took the offense against his opponent, Clinton, politically, in a way that I think was much more effective than anything he did in the first debate. So, and the other thing about Trump, and this is a sort of a commonplace observation, he always surprises people. Just when you think he's absolutely down for the count, it turns out that he isn't. He is an incredible survivor, and that is why I go on the record by saying, although I'm not predicting the outcome of this election, if he were to win, actually by a landslide, I would not be surprised. Now, many people would be, but I think it's within the bounds of possibility.
That is stunning to hear you say that, especially with what's happened over the weekend. I mean, that's just remarkable. Why do you say that at this point?
Well, I'm just looking at his whole record in the primary process. I mean, you may remember after the first debate, he refused to attend the second debate, which was just before the Iowa caucus. And I thought at the time that that decision was an error by him. And indeed, he didn't do very well in the Iowa caucus. But he came back from that. And just in many states where people thought that Christian conservative voters would definitely go for Cruz or anybody else instead of Trump, he actually triumphed. And he has somehow managed to overcome the darkest animosity of his opponents in ways that continually surprises people. And it certainly surprised me. And he's a fighter. He's an extraordinary. I mean, the compliment that he paid to Hillary Clinton last night when prompted to do so by one of the moderators, which was a genuine compliment, is a compliment that can be applied to him. He is a real fighter. And, you know, you've got to be very careful with a successful businessman who has been down and out several times in the past and has recovered. I think there's an unusual streak of blessing or something on his life that will surprise people.
Okay, what about Mrs. Clinton? How would you rate her performance in the debate last night?
Well, she's a good debater. I think she made some good points about Trump. I mean, not having the necessary qualifications, he's not nearly as well informed as she is about a lot of parts of the world. And he has made some foolish comments in the past, which he's had to walk back on. I mean, I think it wasn't raised by her, but by one of the moderators, that the whole question of whether he would ban Muslims from coming into the States. And he sort of had to waffle on that issue. But I think she demonstrated a sort of toughness under fire. But I thought at times she seemed to smirk. You know, her mouth took on a sort of, oh, you're kidding kind of smile, which I don't think came off very effectively, because she's not a very spontaneous person in expressing what's going on. So I think some of the initial results of viewers who were asked what they thought of the two performances indicated that he'd actually done better than people had anticipated before the show.
Well, and certainly he wasn't anticipated to do well at all, given the performance in the first debate. David, let's switch to international affairs for a moment here. And actually, let's take a quick break, and because I want to get your perspective on what's happening between the U.S. and Russia over Syria. We'll take a break here. We're talking to Dr. David Aikman, who is our special guest. Stick with us here on Faith Radio. Welcome back. 47 past the hour at Faith Radio. Bill Meyer with my guest journalist, historian, and world affairs expert, Dr. David Aikman. David, things have been heating up between the U.S. and Russia over Syria. Give us a synopsis of what's occurred during the past week or two and where things currently stand.
Well, essentially, the Syrian Air Force, of course, aided by Russian bombers of the Russian Air Force, have been flattening parts of Aleppo where there are hospitals and patients being looked after, and killing lots and lots of people and absolutely decimating the city, and furthermore preventing any humanitarian aid being brought into Aleppo. So all of a sudden, the United States has said, my gosh, what are we going to do to help these people and to stop the destruction? The United States tried to bring up the issue of Syria and Russia being culpable of a humanitarian crime by attacking hospitals and so forth, but that was shot down at the United Nations by Russia, which, of course, has a veto over everything. So now the issue of what the United States could or could not do unilaterally is up for grabs. Clearly, the so-called ceasefire agreement between Russia and the United States to both refrain from bombing in Syria in a way that could hurt civilians, that's broken down. But the issue is, could the United States unilaterally declare a fire-free zone where civilians could go and get humanitarian aid and so forth? And if it did so, would it then be up militarily against the Russians, who would object to this thing? And that is a very important issue, because it's interesting that the designated vice president of Donald Trump, Mike Pence, actually said that he publicly thought the United States ought to do something to sort of institute a safe zone over Syria, which would have to involve bombing Russian and even, well, not necessarily Russian, but certainly Syrian air bases, to prevent the Syrian Air Force taking off. And that produced a howl of outrage from Putin and the Russian defense minister and the Russian foreign minister, who hinted that Russian anti-aircraft missile batteries might be able to do damage to American aircraft that the Americans had not anticipated. So it's really heating up. And the other element in this, just to sort of round off the campaign, the Syrian foreign minister told Danish a Danish journalist in an interview that he thought the Americans would probably not do anything because their leadership was weak.
Mm.
Now, where would that idea have come from? Obviously from the Russians. Putin obviously doesn't think much of President Obama. He's not frightened that Obama is about to start a war in Syria. So I don't think the Russians are going to be scared by all this talk about Americans establishing an aircraft-free zone for humanitarian reasons.
What is likely to happen, David, if the Russians actually shot down a U.S. jet? Because the Russian defense minister's statement was basically, hey, if you think your stealth aircraft are safe from us, think again. What could occur?
Right. Well, there is a great danger of Russian missiles taking out American aircraft. But I don't think that would happen unless a decision is made by Obama actually to follow up the suggestions that many have made that Syrian aircraft airfields should be bombed to make it impossible for their own aircraft to mount attacks on civilian regions of Aleppo. Now, if American aircraft tried to take out Russian airfields in Syria, that would be altogether more serious, and that would bring the two major powers in the world to a frightening confrontation. So we'll have to see what happens in the next few days.
Mm. On a different issue, the United Nations Security Council unanimously voted this week to nominate Antonio Guterres as the next UN Secretary General. What do we know about this man?
Well, we don't know a great deal, except the fact that he has been able to avoid any veto by any of the permanent representatives at the UN means that he is not sufficiently provocative to any of the UN leading member states to be obnoxious enough for them to vote against him. So I think we're dealing with a fairly toothless person, or at least a person whose teeth don't show up unpleasantly to certain of the member countries of the UN. And so I think you'll probably sail through, because this is a process where you're looking for the lowest common denominator of lack of animosity to the person, and I think you'll win. Mm.
The UN and just as you said, toothlessness, that's certainly an interesting picture you paint. David, one of the issues I know that is near and dear to your heart is the way Christians in China are being treated by their government. Can you update us on what's been happening with the persecuted church there?
Well, yes. The Congressional Executive Commission on China, which does an annual report on the state of human rights in China, not just of Christians, but it obviously concerns the way Christians have been treated. It also concerns the way Muslim minority groups have been treated by the Chinese government. Came up with a searing report that indicated that for the past 2 years, China has gone through the worst human rights sort of behavior. The Chinese government has been in the worst human rights behavior since the Cultural Revolution. A journalist, Reporters Without Borders, an independent French-based group, said that China ranked 176 on 180 nations in terms of how badly they treated reporters. Reporters are in jail. Lawyers are in jail, especially Christian lawyers. Many pastors have been removed from their jobs, even jobs in officially sponsored churches belonging to the Free Self Patriotic Movement, because they had the temerity to stand up against the destruction of crosses and the demolition of churches that was going on in Zhejiang province around the city of Wenzhou. I mean, what happens is an insidious process of taking captive, arresting pastors, not because they're being prominently Christian, ostensibly, but because supposedly they have committed crimes of embezzlement and so forth, taking them to what the Chinese people call black prisons. By the way, black prisons is a horrible term. It means a place of arrest and detention and torture, which is not even officially on the map, that doesn't technically exist. And there they are held until they confess to the crimes that the Chinese government wants to make them confess to in order to shut them up. And it's an insidious process. I think China's human rights are really getting worse.
Something all of us need to be praying about for our brothers and sisters in China, for the persecuted church there. And I know, David, you will keep us updated on that. So, Dr. David Aikman, thank you so much for your time this morning. As always, we appreciate your insights here on Faith Radio.
Thank you very much for having me, Bill.